Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 98 of the Mom Hour. I am Megan Francis, here as always with Sarah Powers, and it is spring out there, believe it or not, and we are talking about spring cleaning and entertaining. This is one of those more than Mom Hour themes that we do every now and then where we talk about stuff that's maybe not just about motherhood and parenting, but, I don't know, stuff about ourselves and our homes and our hobbies and what we like to do.
Life outside of kids.
Life outside of kids. It really does exist.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day, and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have 2 pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather, but please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes. Wearable well-being for your feet.
All right. Well, I have a quick announcement before we get into our spring updates and spring cleaning and entertaining. And that is just a reminder about our Mother's Day Challenge. You guys have heard us talk about this before, and the letters are continuing to come in. But if this happens to be your first time listening, we are collecting your handwritten notes and cards and letters addressed to a fellow mom who might need encouragement. So it's kind of an anonymous or an imaginary recipient in that you're saying, you know, dear mom, hey mom, going through a tough time. I haven't even updated you, Megan, because I was gone last week, but I came home to a mailbox full. You know, there's some really beautiful letters written for tough situations, you know, people going through a hard time in their marriage or just all kinds of things. And then there's also just really uplifting notes of encouragement. So there's something about handwriting and seeing somebody's handwritten words that's so much just more meaningful, I think, than tweeting it out or whatever. Yes. So, as we get closer to Mother's Day, our plan is to share these with our community on social media, reading them on the podcast, hopefully even having some special guests read them on the podcast.
Yes.
That's a little teaser.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
So get them in, postmark it by May 1st, or you guys know us, May 5th. I mean, Mother's Day is May 14th this year. So it's actually a little, it's I think the almost the latest it can be, I think. So we've got time. So if May 1st comes around and you're listening to this on May 3rd, just jot a note down.
Just
and
throw it in there anyway.
You can find our address.
It's making my day every time I see these, by the way. So, everyone, thank you so much for sending them in.
It's really, really amazing. Okay, so head to themomhour.com. When you're there, you see a little Mother's Day Challenge badge in our sidebar. Click that, and that's where you get our mailing address and any other details you might need. So again, send those in by May 1st. We read every single one, and we will be sharing them. We've shared a couple as teasers, but we will be sharing them lots more as we lead up to Mother's Day. So thanks, you guys. It's been really great. So, okay, so I've outlined, shocker, I have outlined our show today.
What?
but I thought we'd spend the first little bit talking about this idea of spring cleaning and also spring home updates, because the weather gets warmer, and we talked about this around the holidays, how, you know, seasonally it's fun to update the decor, but let's start with the cleaning. Well, no, let's start with spring. So,
okay, let's just talk about spring in general.
We live in very different parts of the country. So I'll kind of tell you where what spring is like here right now. We had in Southern California an extremely gloriously wet winter, which we've really needed. We've been in a drought, and I'm having flashbacks to my high school years, because the last time we went through a drought and then the first very wet winter was when I was in high school. And I'm remembering things that happened. Like, there's something called a super bloom, which is literally like the hillsides are bright yellow and orange. So all of these wildflowers that you don't even see when you're in a drought, like they don't bloom at all, are all of a sudden. It's amazing. I should try and like find a photo roundup in the LA Times or something and share it in the show notes. It's, if you haven't been, if you're not a California person and this is off your radar, it's extraordinary. People are going on hikes. And so there's definitely spring fever in California because we actually got enough rain to make spring a thing and not just a warm up.
No, that's great.
So I've been wanting to have the windows open more. And I know everyone's laughing because we don't have a cold winter, but there's a warm up and we're not having as much rain. So I don't know. It just feels like everything's in blue. It's funny, the previous owner of our home was really into gardening, and there's little like surprises left over from, like, things will sort of pop up. And I admit I don't know a lot about, especially flower gardening. I know a little bit about like vegetable planting, but things like bulbs will pop up that I didn't know were there. And you know, and I'm like,
what is this?
This is a really nice surprise. And it's from, you know, years ago, because this is like our third year in the house. So that's really fun. My jasmine on my front walk is in bloom, and any California people who know what jasmine smells like, it's like the best smell ever. So I'm feeling happy about spring, and it's because we had a wet winter. So that was good.
This time of year for us is like the you have no idea what's coming time of year. So late March to really late April, really anything could happen. So everything kind of smells muddy, because even when there's a cold day, the next day it's going to thaw, and you know, it's just kind of in between and everything's kind of mucky, but it could still snow.
Yeah.
It could still freeze. So you really can't make plans. And right this time of year, I am obsessed with the temperature. Like, the first thing I check in the morning before I get out of bed is the weather app, just to see what it's going to be. And then I find myself almost paralyzed by like
Especially footwear choices.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be cold, but I can't decide if I want to wear boots, you know, then I'll be really warm. But what if I'll be too warm? And do I want to like bust out, you know, my summer shoes, but it's mucky. I mean, I am all over the place. And it's so bad this year because I work for the radio station now. So every morning for 3 hours, I announce the weather like every 10 minutes. We talk about the weather. And the funny thing is they do the weather, like the real weather guy does it in the middle of the night, like at 4 a.m.
Okay.
So by the time I have the weather report in my hands at, say, you know, 8 a.m. sometimes it's different. Like I'm looking outside going, but it's sunny and it says clouds. And so I'll argue. My personal style on the radio is that I'll just argue with what we have and I'll start reading it and they'll be like, nope, that's wrong. I'm looking outside and it is raining and they said it wouldn't rain or whatever. So it's kind of fun. I get to be like a little bit contrary.
Which you love.
I love it. Yes. Contrarian is my
arguing
thing.
With like arguing with authority. Facts.
Yeah, exactly. But the one, like, just like you, so I'm not the best gardener and I don't do things like properly prepare my flower beds and stuff. I usually just kind of wing it as much as I can without having to do a lot of work. So things randomly, this is the time of year where flowers start randomly popping up. It's right. Like the perennials, I didn't ever get around to actually doing anything, but I don't, I'm not actually actively growing them. They're just there.
Yeah.
So my yard has got daffodils and tulips and crocuses all starting to pop through, but there sometimes is snow around them. It's so odd.
Yeah.
That's how it feels here right now. I have the windows open every chance I get. I get really grumpy right now when it drops below 50 degrees.
I remember that
because
so well.
It feels wrong.
Yes, yeah. From my Chicago days. I just remember looking at actually the national weather map because that was back when you looked in the newspaper. I would have the Chicago Tribune.
Oh my goodness.
And I would look at the national weather map and I'd be so mad that like places like New York and DC and, you know, other places that have legit winters were warming up.
Right.
And it would be like 22 in Chicago. That was April was a bleak month for me.
Wow.
In my Chicago winters.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes it's great. Sometimes it'll be a month where, you know, but like this time last year, there was a huge snowstorm. So I am not I'm not getting too excited. Although right now it's so funny. I'm looking over the top of my mic and there is a TV screen and the weather just popped up on the screen.
Funny.
And it says it's going to be 75 and sunny like middle of next week. So I'm like, oh, yes,
that's amazing.
What I live for right now.
Yeah. Well, I know I'm very lucky here because we're just temperate pretty much all year. But spring, you can guarantee it's not going to be too chilly or too hot. So it was 65 to 75 pretty much all the time. Well, that's fun. This makes me really want to enjoy spring. One other thing that's happening in my yard that I'll mention is my lemon trees. You've been in my yard. Remember the girls climbed over the lemon trees?
So drool worthy. I couldn't get over your lemon trees. Like I was really kind of obsessed with them.
This is again our third season. And the first year they produced these really big but not good lemons. Like they were all pithy and dried out inside and they were humongous. It was like mutant lemons. And then last year they were pretty good. And this year they're amazing. And again, I don't know why other than it has been much more normal for rainfall, but I have more lemons than I could ever do anything with. So if any listeners are, you know, experts
in the area and want to drive by,
by my house, Katie, are you listening? You can have all my lemons. I know people have said they've made homemade limoncello and I'm not a big like lemon.
I made lemon curd a few years ago.
Oh, I remember
it's not that. Hard.
Okay. We'll link to that. Yes.
Post.
Okay.
It was time intensive, but honestly I got so much lemon curd really more than I think my family would ever eat unless we slapped it on pancakes like every day.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
It's great. It tasted really good.
I love it. Okay. Well, let's talk spring cleaning, which is kind of where I was going with this because is this even a thing anymore? Like set us up with your favorite episode, your favorite scene in the Little House books, which
I
think you've mentioned before.
Little Town on the Prairie. I've talked about this a lot. It's Little Town on the Prairie where Mary goes off to the school for the blind and Pa and Ma just, because this is what they did in those days, leave the kids at home for like a week. So Laura is a teenager. Had Grace not come along? They took Grace.
No. Oh,
it was just Laura and Carrie.
Yeah.
They took Grace with them. So it was Laura and Carrie were left on the homestead for a week on their own. And they decided to do the spring cleaning while Ma and Pa and Grace are gone. And much, you know, chaos ensues and there's some messes and
the
they have to take out.
Doesn't one of them get black in the stove?
Yeah. Like, the stove black.
Yeah.
It gets somewhere. And it like falls on the ground. I can't even remember now what happens with it. It gets on something it's not supposed to. I need to go back and read this evidently. They have to take out the straw ticks and like take out all the old musty straw and replace it with fresh straw and
air it all
those things. Yep. Anyway, so that gave me a very romantic idea about what it would be to do a spring cleaning. Now, in 2017, it is not quite as romantic. I did not do a big spring clean last year. I did the year before. I also have not had a cleaning person come. And just like 2 years ago, I had not had a cleaning person for a while.
Right.
And then last year I did. So like it really never got bad enough that I needed one. But then this, I have not had a cleaning person since before Christmas.
Right.
And it's also been a very, very busy time for me. And so there are certain things that have just been left undone for so long now that I really do feel like I need to do a deep clean.
Yeah.
Is it a thing? I don't know. Do we don't live the same. We don't have like fire, you know, coal stoves inside the house anymore, and things don't, and most of us don't have like heavy draperies everywhere. It's just different.
Right. It is different. But I think also there's probably some regional elements is what I meant to say to this too, because when you've winterized your home and there's things that are, you know, a certain way during the winter, you really are sort of making updates to your home for spring. And for me in California, that's just not the case.
And there are things you can't get to when it's cold and snowy out, and that you know, if anything involves being taken outside or like windows, you really can't do those so much during the winter. So there's something psychologically cleansing about the idea of a big spring clean.
I agree. I want to point our listeners to that great guide you did on the Happiest Home blog a couple of falls ago, and it was for a fall cleaning challenge, but it's basically the same thing. It was a room by room or a zone by zone deep clean of your home with tips and products, and it was really, really well done. So we will link to that, and if people need sort of tips by going room by room if you want to. From my end, I have never been big on big deep cleans, but again, I think some of that is regional where I live and some of it is season of life. Like, it's not really possible with our little kids to set aside an entire weekend. I feel like we kind of did that more before kids, you know, did like a whole bunch of big projects, but I definitely feel motivated to seasonally like change out my decorations, open up the doors, spruce up the patio, make the outside look nice. So I feel like this spring for us, though, we have a lot, unfortunately, of like home repair issues going on. It's just minor.
Those are so unfun.
But it's not fun. And I feel like our spring cleaning energy is going to go toward those, unfortunately.
Yeah, all those necessary, but just like no one can actually tell it was done afterward. That's
right.
The worst thing.
And the
thing
money
about those
just
things.
Goes away.
The money is gone. And it's like you have a better driveway or something that no one cares about. Oh, my retaining wall is secure.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. My roof isn't leaking anymore. Like, awesome. Actually, as soon as we record, I have a plumber coming because there's water coming out, but very slowly from under my dishwasher. And even if it's a minor dishwasher issue, it's not pooling out. It's been so subtle that I don't think I even noticed it at first, but it's messing with the floors. So before I can replace a floorboard there, I have to figure out what's leaking. So the leak might be minor, but then I have to figure out a way. We have these nice laminate floors and I have to figure out a way to have somebody just come and lay. We do have extra flooring in the garage, but I don't know anything about like how much is going to have to be ripped up and put back down. So it's all that kind of not fun, and not cheap stuff. But
yeah.
Well, do you have any, like, I know you do have some small, inexpensive ways to kind of add spring into your living space, even if you're not doing a big deep clean or some big overhaul?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said before, random flowers always start popping up. The nice thing about them being random is they don't really look good.
Yeah.
From a landscaping perspective, I can easily go around and cut a whole bunch of them because I don't feel bad losing them because they just don't look purposeful. So I do a lot of cuttings this time of year. I always swap out tablecloths. I start swapping out those sort of like Christmassy and fall and those really earthy smelling candles for more light floral scents. I love to go around.
Place? Sorry, I interrupted. Do you have a favorite place to get your candles?
So I like to, there's a couple stores in our little downtown area that have the good soy candles that I really like. They've got the Woodwicks, you know, there's someone who's got the Woodwick ones when they make the sound when they.
Oh, I don't know those.
And then they're cool. They're like, you've probably seen them. They like crackle.
Oh,
when they burn. So this those are fun. Although for me, those are more of a winter thing because they remind me of like a log in the fire.
Right.
And then the other ones, I just honestly, Target has a great selection and often on the clearance and you can get some really good quality candles and interesting scents. So I just, for me, that's sometimes just kind of a random thing. I'm just out and I'm like, oh, this is a pretty smelling candle.
Yeah, so I feel like I'm a very impulse candle buyer, but I feel like the problem with that is that I vacillate between very cheap. Michael's and Hobby Lobby often have really cool looking candles in that they'll be in like a kind of a fat glass, you know, like a jar looking thing. So I sometimes am drawn in by the aesthetic, and then the candle quality isn't great. I either don't care about the smell isn't great, or it burns too fast. So yeah, I listen to the Girl Next Door podcast religiously, as you know, and they are big fans of the Bath and Body Works. I know people love all of those.
Oh, there are some of the scents that they have, like the orange, there's an orange smell that they have. I can't remember what else is in it. I love, I think it's bergamot. That to me is also more of a fall smell, but it smells so good, so delicious.
Yeah, another place this spring
I really like to get candles is TJ Maxx, because they'll have really pretty like designer candles. Like I have a bunch of Calvin Klein candles, which is kind of silly, but they're good prices because it's TJ Maxx.
Great price.
And I like those too. And I also like, you know, I have a whole drawer full of linen tablecloths that are just the ones, you know, most, some are floral, some are just solids. But this time of year, I also like to go check out the, just the vinyl ones they have at Target and other places like that. Cause they're fun. Like I just put one on my table the other day that's pineapples.
Oh, that is fun.
And it's just kind of like, it'll probably last a week or two, cause they start to get, like when the kids scrape their fork against it, they get holes and stuff. Or the dog likes to try to steal sandwiches off of it. Cause she's learned how to
grip
a tablecloth with her paws and pull it. And so the tablecloth gets all stretched out and holy, but it'll last a couple of weeks, and it's just a nice little introduction into the new season. So I've got one of those out right now.
And very, very affordable.
I love to go around and open up all the blinds. So I'm an open windows, open blinds kind of person anyway.
Yeah.
But then if anyone's trying to watch TV, they'll start putting them back down to kind of cut down on glare. And I'll just be like, nobody's allowed to put the blinds down this week. Like, no. Yeah. Yeah. I want sun, so.
Yeah, natural light is, I feel like I'm like that every day, opening the blinds as soon as, agreed. Candles for me too. I just got a new one that was a Mrs. Meyers lavender scent, which you and I are both big fans of Mrs. Meyers for cleaning products.
Their lemon verbena scent is so good too.
Yeah, I don't think I had ever had one of their candles. I'm trying to think if I have, and so I like it. I have a really shallow window ledge in front of my kitchen sink. There's something about like a window in front of your kitchen sink that's so homey and nice.
I know. I have one of those too, and it's got candles on it.
Yeah, and mine's not very deep. I mean, maybe 3.5 inches maybe. So it doesn't work for a big jar candle, but it works for like a little bud vase and like a medium-sized, you know, maybe like 3-inch diameter round candle. So I usually try to have one there, and I did just get a lavender scent one. The only other thing I think that, you know, that doesn't cost a lot is just switching out if you have seasonal decor. We did a whole episode on this around the holidays about how fun it is to just redo your mantle I'm not even saying buy new things, but take everything off, dust the picture frames, swap out the photos if you can or if you want to, and even putting things back in a different order or with one little different touch. I feel like it doesn't have to be spring, but it just can kind of, those things tend to have a trickle effect. Like if your mantle looks pretty and every time you walk into that room, it kind of brightens your day. And then, you know, then you think about putting a vase of flowers somewhere. And and then my other favorite thing is I'm a Trader Joe's shopper, and they start having daffodils for, I think, seriously, $1.99 for a bundle. They're so cheap. And, you know, when you get them, they're all closed up, but they open up within like 6 hours. So it's like magic. Yeah. You just bring them home and I put them in a little jar. And it's happy and super cheap. So,
and I'll often walk into the grocery store and just grab one of those potted plants that's right at the front this time of year, because it's like something for like a flower. Yeah. I want it in my house.
Have you ever had success transferring those to
bother.
I know. Well, I one time have had success, so now I feel like it's like a challenge. Someone got me one from Trader Joe's, and I happened to have a big ceramic pot on our front porch that something else had died in. And so there was nothing to lose because there was nothing in there. And I don't even think I had good potting soil. I just kind of dug around in the soil that was in there, put it in and covered it up and watered it. And it's been like a year and it's still there.
Maybe I should try. I usually just keep it in the little pot that it comes in until, I don't know, I get tired of it or dies or whatever. I'm not the best with plants. One thing I was going to say when you were talking about swapping stuff out on the mantle or whatever your space is, and I think we all have our space, right?
Yeah.
Like the place that we decorate. One thing that's made it really easy for me to do that is mine is a buffet. It's like a three drawer, you know, looks kind of like a bureau. And I just keep all of this stuff in the top drawer. So it never goes away. And so it's really easy. What, no matter what holiday is or season it is, I can come over and just kind of rummage through the drawer and be like, oh, here's that thing I forgot about. Or here's this. Here's a new candle, whatever. It's just all right there. It's not the neatest and most organized solution, but it means I actually do it and it's fast and easy. And that's more important to me.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great tip. We just got out our Easter decorations, and I'm sure I've repeated this when we did it over the holidays, but I'll just offer the tip again. When you get out, if you have seasonal decor that's stored away, like for a holiday, when you get it out, the first thing to do is throw away anything you don't love. Somehow that stuff like sneaks back in.
Yep,
and
absolutely.
You know, something like Easter, which we talked recently about the Easter bunny and stuff. I feel like my kids are, they're still young, but they're getting older. And I just feel like I had a lot of really tacky, gimmicky bunny stuff. And not that, you know, not that a little bit here and there is not good, but I'd rather have no Easter decorations than ugly ones. So I feel like that's always a good tip, is to be ruthless and do it, because otherwise the kids get their hands on stuff, or you start to convince yourself that maybe I'll just put this wreath on the door anyway. But if you don't love it, if you don't get excited when you open that bin, chuck it. Just and part with it.
so many things are sort of like Easter decorations can be kind of vaguely spring.
Yeah.
And a lot of spring decorations are vaguely Easter, but you don't have to worry about having all this, you know, like a bunny barfed everywhere and then have to like clean it up the day after Easter.
Yes.
You can kind of like a few of those pieces go a long way. Then you just take those ones and put them in the drawer and leave everything
it's
else
so
out.
It's so true. And it's very similar to how I feel about Halloween and fall. And
I even do that for Christmas. Like a lot of the stuff I put out for Christmas stays out because it's really more winter than Christmas.
I feel like I have a better handle on it in the fall because I prefer fall decorations to a whole bunch of Halloween. So I just have the, like you said, I have a few things that come out for Halloween, but I feel like I don't really. All I have is ugly bunny stuff right now. It's a whole bunch of plastic bunnies.
Harder to do that in the summer because like the only holiday is 4th of July, and that's pretty specific. It really has nothing to do with the summer.
It's pretty.
We'll take tips.
Yes. That's so funny. Okay. Well, any specific projects that you, specific things you want to tackle this spring that we haven't already talked about?
So my backyard doesn't really exist. I have a patio between the back door and the garage. It's, I don't know, maybe 12 feet wide, and it's a good size and like the width of my house. And I really want to make that like an oasis because I live on a busy street. So in the front, you can hear the air conditioner unit, by the way, which
hard. We have part of our yard that we can hear.
And then also you can hear traffic from the street. And then on the side, there's an alley. So I really want to close it in with plants and make it really feel like a private space. And that's going to probably take me a couple weekends of just really hard work. But my thing is I got to get on it sooner. I often this time of year keep thinking like, I'll do it, you know, end of May when the weather's really good. And somehow, next thing I know, it's 85 degrees out and I've missed all the best weather and I don't want to do it. And the plants are all picked over. Right. So this year, it's got to be like next weekend.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to get on it. Yep.
Yeah. And you what can always you? Not use it if the weather's chilly in the first half of May, but at least it's
exactly.
Done.
But I'd like it just to be done.
Yeah.
It's just tricky here because you don't want to put stuff out too early because if it freezes, you know, you could lose some plants. But I really think that sometimes we're a little too cautious with that. And as long as you're not planting it in the ground, you're probably, this time of year, probably going to be okay.
Yeah.
So.
And you can, and you can always start with some non-planting if you really needed to. So.
Right, exactly.
Well, this is funny. Remember when you were at my house in early February and you looked up above? So above our, we have these built-in cabinets that our TV is also built into. And there's a ledge on the top. And I've always had a hard time with those high spaces where it feels like you should maybe have some plants or baskets, but I never know what to put up there. And so I had found these really cool kind of shadow box square frames and then a couple of other little accent pieces, a couple white vases and a couple little fake succulents. And I had them arranged up there and I really liked the way it looked. And you looked up and you were like, why is the paper that came inside those frames still in there?
I think I might have asked it in a like, I think I just kind of poked fun at you. I was like, nice
you
paper.
Did. You're like, I love your house. I have one question for you. Okay, so that was the beginning of February. It is now the middle of April and it still looks the same. In fact, it looks worse because at one point I think the cleaners came and they dusted up there. So now it's, I had it really arranged where in my mind it was like the perfect balance between random, but also balanced, you know, like kind of symmetrical. And now it's just random. It's like, there's a bunch of stuff up there, including three frames that aren't filled. And they're square. So my idea was to pick some of my Instagram shots that maybe are a little artsier or cool looking and print like 5x5. I think the frames are 9x9. So to print maybe 5x5 or 6x6 Instagrams and kind of put them in these shadow box frames. So I'm declaring it here because I want to be able to share on our Instagram for the Mom Hour when this project is complete, because it's not that hard. It's just printing 3 photographs, taking the plastic wrap off these frames that have been up there since right. January and replacing. So that's my one goal. My other really simple one is wreaths for our front door. I feel like this is a challenge for me for 2 reasons. I have a black front door, which I feel like a lot of greenery doesn't look great on. I have neighbors with the same black door, and it looks really pretty if you have whites or yellows that really pop, but it's sometimes right. hard to find. It'll be easier in spring than holiday, but it's sometimes hard to find wreaths that aren't a lot of green. And the green just doesn't stand out in the same way. And the other reason is it's a double door, like a French door. And it already has the nails for 2 little, so I almost need 2 smaller wreaths instead of 1 big one. But I've wanted some for a while, and spring is a perfect time to find some like yellows or whites or something that would just be fake. And, you know, I'd probably put them out every spring for a few years. I've just kind of been in the market for them since we got this house. So that's my other, I would love to find that. So
I have to tell you quickly a funny story about seasonal wreaths.
Okay.
We don't really use our front door very much. It's kind of where the dog goes out, and there is a front yard, but it just doesn't get used as much as the back. So I just kind of forget about my wreaths. And also, I find that, especially living in Michigan, the season takes forever to be over, and then suddenly it's over. So like, it's winter, hanging on.
Right.
Yes, technically it's spring, but outside does not feel like it. And then suddenly it's like a month into spring, and I still have a Christmas wreath on my front door. So my friend Liz, who is an amazing, her house always looks appropriate. It's always decorated beautifully. Like, she's always on top of that stuff. Sent me a text last year, just kind of making fun of me for having a Christmas wreath still on my door, my front door, which is on the busiest road in town.
Right. Oh yeah.
And she passes it.
So
a million
you don't
times
care because you don't use it.
I don't care.
Everybody
I don't see
else
it, but everyone
it.
Else yeah. in town sees it. She's like, "Hey, nice Christmas wreath. Ha ha ha." And I said something like, "It is a winter wreath. Thank you very much." And I think it was like the end of March or something like that. So John and I went and stole her wreath
off
their
awesome.
Front door, which was this beautiful, like, little Easter wreath with little, you know, eggs and stuff in. And we put ours on their front door and then waited to see how long it would take. And they also always park in the back. So it took a while. I don't think they saw it right away. And then they came over and swapped, got their wreath back and hung a wreath that they'd hung like a Bart Simpson off of, like took his arms and legs off and hung them from it. And we didn't see that for a couple of days because we just didn't notice. So anyway, it's just kind of this ongoing thing now, like the wreath wars. But
that is awesome. That is a great story. I love it.
So if I keep up with my wreath too much, no one will be able to make, you know, to do that to me anymore.
Yeah, at least yours has a story to it. Mine just needs some help.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, I know music education is important to a lot of parents, but we also know parents and caregivers already have a lot on their plate. Our sponsor, Carnegie Hall Kids, is here to help. Their online resources can help facilitate music education and learning as a family for free.
Yeah, and we've talked about Carnegie Hall Kids in the past and all of their great educational games, quizzes, and videos for kids and families. And now kids can check out their brand new Sights You Can Hear quiz, which plays a piece of music and then has you guess what visual image inspired it.
Our listeners may have heard the name Carnegie Hall because of their live performances, but they might not know about all the educational resources they also have for kids and families on their website. And the best part is everything on the Carnegie Hall Kids website is completely free. Listeners, start the musical journey early and go to kids.carnegiehall.org to check out fun, child-friendly games and quizzes. That's kids.carnegiehall.org.
Okay, so we're going to shift gears a little bit and talk about entertaining. And while entertaining can happen all year round, don't you feel like spring is kind of, there's a natural segue into kind of opening up your doors,
yes,
literally and figuratively? I feel like,
so, yeah. I don't know how it is for you, Sarah, but I feel like this time of year, between like Christmas, between January 6th, say, when everyone goes back to school after Christmas, and like this time of year, I don't see anyone.
Yeah.
I don't go anywhere. I mean, it's different here because the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. It is different for you. But I actually remember that from my Chicago days.
I don't go anywhere. I don't see anyone. No one comes over. A lot of it's also the people are really busy with school and you have that long stretch where there's no breaks really.
Yeah.
So we've just been, it's like the grind has been going on.
Yeah.
Yes. And I feel like there's people I'm like, gosh, I haven't seen you in so long. And then I remember it's like this every year and pretty soon it's going to be better again. And so, yeah, even just like last week with the weather getting better and people getting back from spring break and stuff, it's like, oh my gosh, I see my friends again. They come over and we do stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, this is definitely the time of year for it.
Yeah. I agree. And even though we don't have the extreme weather changes here, I do agree. I want to make a case, and I think you and I can both agree, for moms who feel overwhelmed because your kids are really little and your house isn't the way you like it. I have always found that biting the bullet and entertaining, whether that means a get together, a casual barbecue, or having people over for anything, entertaining before you're quote unquote ready has always been a good move for me. And, you know, I can see how maybe the other side of this is don't stress yourself out. If this sounds like a nightmare, then don't. You're not obligated to throw a dinner party. However, I would encourage moms to sort of make yourself a little bit, step outside your comfort zone a little bit, because I always get so much out of throwing a get together, and my house does too, because I find it gets me in the groove to take care of all those little things like the picture frames that I haven't done. And while you might have to bust your butt for a little bit and kind of do some of the cleaning projects you've been leaving, you have those things to enjoy after the guests leave.
Yes.
You know,
there's not that feeling before you have guests over where you like go crazy and maybe you have like 15 minutes for everyone that's going to get there and you just get to sit at your table with a glass of wine and enjoy what you've just accomplished
and
by cleaning your house.
Totally. And even if the party leaves you with a mess to clean up, it's usually a mess like dishes and spills on the
floor. Yeah, it's manageable.
But the things that you've done to make your home welcoming to guests, those little, the buffet top and the mantle and the little decorative spruce up, you get to keep enjoying those.
That's
so I'm just a huge encourager of do it before you're ready. Plan something, a casual barbecue or people you've been meaning to have over that you, you know, haven't gotten to know, and plan it out like 3 or 4 weeks. And then, you know, like if, you know, if the guest bathroom toilet doesn't work, you probably want to fix that, but you've got time. And I don't know, we have found as kids get older, it can be everybody can pitch in and get the house ready. And so I really enjoy doing that, you know, in the spring, in the fall, you know.
And I also want to say, like, and this is speaking as someone whose house has been in pretty bad shape recently, even if your house is in really bad shape, if you give yourself like a solid hour and then really be strategic about it, you're going to be fine. So you know, one thing, like, you don't have to worry about it being perfect. Invite the people who are closest to you or who won't care. Make it a small group. I know there are certain people who, in the way our house is laid out, is a little funny. The nicest bathroom by far is the master bathroom, and it's on the first floor. But of course, you have to go through our bedroom to get to it. But I often, that's the bathroom I clean and I leave my bedroom door open and that's the bathroom people use. And if they're close to me, they don't care. Yeah. I'd rather have them in the nice bathroom than stress out about this weird little powder room we have that's impossible to clean. And like, I just keep that door shut or I make it the kids' bathroom.
Yeah.
And if I just hit that bathroom, make my bedroom look nice, you know, make the bed, put everything in the closet, whatever I have to do, get the kitchen and like those high traffic areas, just let that be good enough. I mean, your friends are there to see you. They really aren't there. Just make sure your house smells good and your surfaces are cleared off and people can move around and have a place to sit and people really will be fine.
I think it helps me sometimes to put myself on the other side and think yes. about what I look at when I go into somebody's house. And it's not the floors. I really no. don't. I never look at somebody's. I might look at like what kind of floors they have because that's always interesting.
But you wouldn't be like, but I don't look if there's dust bunnies
or yeah, if exactly. the dog tracked in mud. I really don't. So I'm curious about how they decorate and what kind of yes. throw pillows they like and what, you know, what is about their house that makes yes. it their personality.
Open the blinds and let some light in and yeah. put a candle, light a candle, clean
the
toilet.
Them a glass of wine. Exactly. Yes, I totally agree. So that's our making a case for having a party. I'd love to hear if our listeners decide to throw a get together after yes, listening to this. Absolutely. Let us know how it goes. I definitely want to this spring. So we thought we'd get into some specific products or tips or hacks, and we okay. each have a few. Do you want to just take turns on this, Megan? We'll
yeah
kind of offer up
I'll
some
go
thoughts.
I'll just go first.
Okay.
I usually try to have something kind of special for the kids to do, especially if there are kids coming. I'm finding this, my kids are getting older, and you know, we have friends who have kids in younger age groups. It's really mm-hmm. nice for them to have something to do, and I remember really appreciating that when people would go out of their way to have like even a special coloring book from yeah. the dollar store on hand for my little one, maybe especially if there weren't kids in their same age range. So right. that's something like I try to have something a little special activities, new sidewalk chalk, art supplies, coloring book, even like a movie everyone wants to watch right now if the weather's bad, something yeah. to put on. And along those same lines, that also gives your children the, I guess, freedom to maybe put away those toys or supplies or whatever yes. they really don't want a bunch of random kids playing yes. with. That just kind of helps grease those wheels socially with them and gives them something to do without getting
it's so true
stuff.
Because you're not asking your kids to share their toys, you're actually providing something new that everyone
exactly.
is going to share, you know, even yep. though it's at your house. That's ooh, that's a really good strategy, especially for it is hard for kids to, you yep. know, open up their own. They're not quite as generous intrinsically exactly. as we are. I love that idea. So
plus, let's face it, if the 3-year-old that comes over is going to break something, it's probably not going to be my stuff. It's going right. to be my kid's stuff.
Yeah.
So that gives them, you know, it helps respect their space as well.
I love that. Okay. Well, I love any product that helps keep beverages identified with their owners. And, you know, remember the little wine glass charms that were, I feel yes. like they were kind of in a while ago more, maybe. I feel like
you want to hear something funny? I never yeah. took mine off. They're still like rattling around on my wine glasses. I think you're supposed to take them off and let the guests choose, but.
Yeah,
I'm
well,
lazy.
I don't, to me, it doesn't matter. I get really anxious. This is going to sound dumb. I get anxious if I don't know which drink is mine. Like, I hate that looking around and if it's like a beer yeah. or a glass of wine. Like, where
is,
you're
that,
like,
is that my lipstick?
Where did I yeah. set, like, where did I set this down? But I feel like there's some cool, creative, different ways now. I don't have these, but I've seen really cute stemless wine glasses that have chalkboard, like a chalkboard mm-hmm. square on them. You can chalk, write the guest's name. I've talked about it on this show before. I have a set of these wine glass writers. They're like a dry erase kind of pen, but it
That's
washes
fun.
Off easily with dish soap. And what I like about those is you don't need a stem to put, like the little charms
right,
usually work
a
on a glass with a stem. These could work on a beer bottle. It could work on a pint glass. It doesn't work very well on plastic.
Okay. Good to
but
know.
I'll link to them in the show notes. They're really cheap. They come in a 3-pack and they're fun. You can write the person's initials. You can get creative, write something
and
else.
And when out. In doubt, you know, a solo cup with Sharpie works
yeah,
as well.
Solo cup with Sharpie works. I have enjoyed when people at casual family friendly get togethers have put out Sharpies or pens with the beverage cups, especially for yeah. the kids, because
yes.
if the kids are, you know, and you can even Sharpie on a juice box or a pouch.
Absolutely.
So
yep.
that's always, if you're the one hosting, just throwing out a Sharpie for others as people are serving themselves. So I'm kind of a sucker for any product that does that, but I will link to my wine glass writers in the show.
Have
notes.
You tried those little gummy, like jelly wine
yeah,
glass charms?
I
feel like they wouldn't
success.
Stick on cold.
Yeah.
I feel like they would stick with like a dry red
right.
wine glass, but not like a cold white wine glass
right.
with
yeah.
condensation.
I feel like, I don't think I've ever owned them, but I feel like when I've used them, they've been hit or miss.
And if you bump them, they could fall off.
Yeah.
And yeah.
yeah.
Okay.
So
just
let
curious.
Us know, listeners, too, if you have a favorite drink identifier. And let us know if I'm crazy for really needing my drink to have my name
yeah.
on it at all times.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got another one. So I live on an alley and near a busy street. And that's fine for my kids. They're old enough to kind of play in the alley and very safely. I mean, they know what to look for, and we're far enough back from the road that I don't worry anyone's going to fly around the corner off the main street and run them down in the alley. But they also have some common sense, and we often have friends over and family that have younger kids. So I actually bought a couple traffic signs. The ones I got from Step 2, and it's these little green, I'm sure you've seen them around. They're like, yes, these little green plastic men.
Yep.
And they're like leaned forward holding a flag.
Yep,
and it says,
I know exactly
slow.
What I mean.
And I've actually bought those depending on where we are. And I've put them in the middle of the alley. So uh-huh. If someone actually can't, they have to like stop. And then one of the kids will move it. But it just gives like everyone an opportunity to like see what's going on if there's little people running around. And then it allows my guests to relax a little bit. I mean, they're still close by. They're still watching their kids. But I feel like there doesn't have to be that one parent who the whole time has to be kind of running after their kid. Running interference. Everyone can relax a little bit because we know that someone's looking out for the little ones. So that's actually been great. And people really do respect that. I think sometimes like it's that green. It's a kind of like a signal like, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's activity here. And people really do slow down when we put those up. So we found those to be really helpful.
And I feel like that's one of those purchases that sometimes you put off because it feels like, well, I'm only going to use it 2 or 3 times a year. But it's so nice to have, you know, just to have in your possession. And that's such a smart tip too, because when you go to someone else's house, you don't know the traffic patterns as well. So I can
you
see
can
being,
take them.
Being yes, yeah, that's true. Or I was going to say being when you're the guest, it just would be peace of mind because you don't intuitively like I intuitively know what's too fast to drive on my street. Like we, you know, it becomes part of your like car, you know.
Right. Yep.
But your guests won't necessarily. So if they have, it's just a little more peace of mind. That's a great idea.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Well, my next tip is for getting people out of the kitchen if you want to. Now, sometimes the kitchen is a nice gathering place, but if you don't want the entire party to stand in your kitchen the entire time, I have gotten creative with setting up a self-serve bar or appetizer station as far away as possible from the kitchen. You can't do it like at the end of the kitchen counter because people will still like drawn to the flame. They just end up standing right where it's in your way. And this, I guess, is more for when you're, you know, hosting a dinner or something where you've got to cook and stuff in the kitchen. But I think you can get creative with setting up those stations, even in parts of the house where you might not normally serve food and drinks or outside, but the farther, the better. And it really does work. People will go, you know how it works when people are socializing, they need a drink refill. So they'll walk over to wherever that is, or they need ice. So if you, when you do it, have everything that somebody would need, ice, a bottle opener, you know, garnishes if you're doing a bar, and then napkins and everything. I'll put a roll of paper towels and like wet wipes for spills so that all of that people are not wandering into my kitchen and into my pantry looking for stuff. And it really does work. Then the social activity follows the food and the drink. And, you know, if the goal is to not have people congregating in the kitchen, either because it's inconvenient or you just want them to mingle more, I found that really works.
That's a really, really good tip. Mine kind of also has to do with food and drinks, but in a different vein. So what I like to do when entertain is to keep the main meals really simple. If I'm going to impress, it's going to be with like a fun cocktail or a snack or a punch. We have different ones. Like we do this punch that's basically orange juice and Sprite, and then you put in a block of sorbet or sherbet.
Oh, fun.
I don't know. Is sorbet and sherbet the same thing? It's like that. That peachy, like multicolored sherbet.
I think that's sherbet. Yeah. I think there is a difference.
Sorbet is like the stuff that's like icy, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sherbet's like creamy.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a gourmet. But so we just put a block of that and it makes it really foamy and the kids love it. And we have one of those like in one of those little dispensers. And then sometimes there's just like a fun drink that we're making everyone make, you know, mojitos or gimlets or something like that, that they don't have. It's something you maybe wouldn't just order yourself at a restaurant.
Right.
And then have a few little snacks that look really fancy and probably didn't take that long to put together, so that when people come, the actual meal itself is simple to put together. And so we often just do like a sandwich platter. We've done fun pasta with shrimp in it, which is really easy, but kind of impressive because it's got shrimp in it. Or, I mean, honestly, ordering pizza.
Yeah.
It's just like, I feel like if there's like one little thing I put some effort into that looks great and kind of impresses, I can really like lay off the rest of it. And then the most important part, when everyone's there and I want to enjoy them and enjoy their company, I don't have to think about the food so much.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. It's almost the entertaining equivalent of having a simple black dress and then fun accessories.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
You know, like have what you know and what's easy and then go crazy with the fun stuff. That's a great idea. Okay. Well, the last thing that I was going to bring up is that hosting can be stressful on young kids. I have one kid in particular who likes his routine and for some reason has a particularly hard time when we host. He's fine about going out to other parties and going with the flow. But for some reason, us hosting a get together is a stressor for Reed because, you know, you have all the prep where you're cleaning and you're getting ready when you're ignoring your kids or they're not getting the attention that they normally get in their home environment. I think that's what sets it off for him is he's at home, but
why isn't anyone talking to me?
Dad doesn't want to play cards with him and whatever. And then you have the time when the guests are actually there, which can be a little sensory overload for some kids or like you brought up the really good point about
space.
Yeah, kids sharing and mom and dad, again, aren't available to play with you or even maybe to support you in navigating things like, you know, sharing with other kids and all of that. So I think it can be pretty stressful. I think it depends on the kids and how old they are and your unique kids. But I did write a post a couple years ago around Thanksgiving with some tips for helping kids who have a hard time with this. And it was around Thanksgiving if you were hosting Thanksgiving, but all of the same things apply. And I'll link to it in the show notes. I won't talk about the whole thing, but a couple of the tips were, you know, use screen time wisely. I think sometimes the simple solution is to plug them into the iPad, but I have kids for whom that actually makes them way, way worse behaved.
Yes.
And when I unplug them and say, okay, now your friends are here. Now it's time to socialize. It would totally backfire on me. So maybe you wait and you put on that coveted movie like you brought up later on, but you don't let them gorge on the iPad while you're clean, you know, while you're getting the house ready.
Like, so beforehand, because they're not going to be able to transition then into that chaos.
Yeah. Easily. So just being strategic about the screen time. And then, you know, if at all possible, make sure they know what to expect and just say, you know, our guests are going to be here. Here's what I expect while our guests are here. We'll have special time tomorrow. Or if you can build in a little bit of one-on-one time, you know, before leading up to the event. It's not easy. I think it was very hard for me at certain times to parent during hosting an event. Like I felt like I had the entertaining part. That was kind of fun for me. But then to also support my kids' emotional needs, I just feel like it's hard, you know? So I'll link to that post. It has some more tips, but I guess I'm just saying I know it's hard. And I think with a little bit of forethought, you can kind of help kids for whom that's particularly difficult.
Yeah. Great tips.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, so does that kind of wrap up this topic?
Yeah,
that was really fun. We really packed a lot in.
A lot in there. So this is a great transition to talk about something we've mentioned before, but I'm really excited to officially announce. And that is that the Home Hour podcast is back.
Yes.
It's back. Like
officially.
You can look in your podcast app, search for the Home Hour, and you will see episode 65, which aired last Thursday. And then coming up in a couple of days, you'll see episode 66, which will be the official relaunch. So what we've done, we've brought on two brand new hosts named Kirsten and Graham. They have a show planned for the Home Hour that is similar to what Megan, you did, only more focused in the area of actual home design, decor.
Yes.
Their tagline is design, DIY, and gracious living. And what they mean by that is everything that, you know, that falls under being, you know, a host and having a home, making it welcoming. So both the practical and tactical. They're going to talk to a lot of interior designers and, you know, real estate people, contractors, all of that nitty gritty home stuff, but also stuff like entertaining and creating a welcoming home. And they are moms of young kids like we are, or you are moving out of that phase, but their kids are more in my kids' age ranges. They have a fun backstory. They both have experience in TV and radio, so they're great on-air personalities, funny. They have a great chemistry together. They have been friends a long time. They remind me a little of us in that way because they live in different parts of the country, but they know each other really well. They have very different homes, very different home challenges. And so anyway, back in episode 65, which you can already run and listen to right this minute, I interviewed them as a way to kind of introduce them. And I really would like our listeners of the Mom Hour to give that a listen and listen to their first show, episode 66. If you're not into home stuff and you don't stick with it, we'll still love you. But as a favor to us and as a way to support our growing network, we would really love that. And they're also so eager to build a community of listeners the way that you and I have, Megan. So, you know, send them an email, follow them on Instagram and sort of cheer them on, you know, for us and with us. And I just am so excited for
I'm really excited as well, because I think that was kind of my initial sort of vision for that podcast. If for anyone who maybe does remember listening to it. And I'm sure a lot of people are like, what are you talking about? Yeah. The Home Hour was sort of my original podcast where I was doing mostly interviews about home life. And I think I said everything within your four walls. And for me, that kind of meant family life and kitchen and everything else. And then when we started doing the Mom Hour, that kind of took care of that need.
Right.
So, you know, it's such a nice compliment, though, because while you and I love to talk about stuff like we did today, DIY and entertaining and stuff, we don't talk about it enough for people who really want to hear about it.
Yeah, it's not our main focus. And like, I laughed with them when I interviewed them that I like this kind of stuff, but I don't even have the right vocabulary a lot of the time.
Exactly.
Like, when
I call to get
my floor repaired, I don't even know how to explain what kind of floors I have. And Kirsten has built her whole house from scratch and worked with a ton of contractors. Graham is in the process of decorating a quite large house that she ended up in after small space living. So they just have a lot more experience and a lot more, vocabulary. They don't have all the answers like you and I don't have all the answers. Yeah. But they're much more equipped than we are to talk about this every week. Some of their upcoming topics are really fun. The one that spoke to me is they're going to have an episode where they talk about what they loved about their grandmother's houses. Isn't that a way to creative.
That just gives me the warm fuzzies.
I know. And so, so there's going to be practical, tactical, and also the warm fuzzies. And we are so excited for them.
We are. And just in general, I want to say too, we are growing our little network.
Yeah.
And the most important, it's going to be a very slow grow, because the most important thing to us is that every show we put out is this just gives you the same kind of feeling this show does. So whether, the camaraderie and non-judgmentalness and just like we're all in this together, encouraging but not overwhelming.
Yeah.
Every show we put out, we want to have that same vibe. So it's going to take us a while, but I'm really glad to have everyone along for the ride. I think everyone who listens to the Mom Hour and likes it will get something out of every show we put out. And that's what I'm really excited about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we always love getting your ideas and suggestions. We got a great response. I did post about the Home Hour on Instagram and people were so excited. So keep talking to us. We host the Mom Hour together, but we are also running the Life Listen Network. So when you have ideas and feedback, you guys know where to find us because you're our regular listeners. So once again, the Home Hour is back. Just look for it wherever you get your podcasts. And I, of course, will link to it in our show notes, which will be at themomhour.com.
And you can go to thehomehour.com if you like to do things with actual URLs anymore.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, thanks again to both of our sponsors, Plum Deluxe Tees and Jet.com. Go to our show notes to find those special offers that we mentioned from both of those great brands. Head to themomhour.com. This was episode 98. Can you believe it?
I know. I can hardly believe it.
And
100's coming up.
It is coming up. So head to the show notes, check out our sponsors, check out the Home Hour, and we will talk to you guys next week.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of three boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%.
Hey everyone, Sarah here. Megan and I would absolutely love it if you hit pause right now, right where you're listening, and left the Mom Hour a rating and review. If our show has helped you feel a little more confident as a mom or a little less alone, that's one of the absolute biggest ways you can thank us. And it really takes about 30 seconds. If you're listening in Apple Podcasts, just navigate to the Mom Hour's show listing. So not the episode you're listening to right now, but the kind of landing area for our show as a whole. And then scroll down to leave a rating or review. Thank you so much.